Hey guys, Keith Finch here, and you are watching or listening to Gunday Brunch. And because it was just Kenzie and Caleb last episode, it's just Paul and myself this episode. We're trading off. So, Kenzie and Caleb, thanks for 190, and Paul and I here have 191. So, as always, we are brought to you by the wonderful brands of Taurus USA, Taurus Heritage and Rossi, and Bleecker Street Publications, who happen to employ both Paul and I. So, thank you guys for that. And thanks for liking, listening, watching, subscribing, watching us on OAM. We're pretty much migrating to OAM totally as a platform. Google and the Google tools keep just, I don't have the time and I do not have a staff member. Joey's the producer, but Joey actually does other things for the company too. This is like 5 minutes of his life every week. I don't have someone to fight with Google full time, so I'm not going to do it. Hey, Friedmere. Today's topic, however, is going to be something a little tangential that off of probably what Kenzie and Caleb hit on last week. Bit of a side tangent, but it's one of those items that. In teaching circles, and when people get started in the shooting world, right, Paul? When they get started, they often get told by people more experienced than they are that it's not the gun, it's you, right? They get told that a lot. It's not the gun, it's you. Like, hey, you're shooting one left, you know, your Glock is jamming, your Glock's, you know, malfunctioning. It's not the gun, it's you. And in many, many cases, they are correct. To a point. However, I want to take it into the next phase of shooting where it's not you, it is the gun. And just some common cases that you found, I found, and some of our friends have found where you're not crazy. Like it's not you, it's not broken. And there are some simple things you can do to test it to just make sure. So don't freak out if something weird happened with your gun, and you're like, oh, I can't shoot. If you know you can shoot, guess what? It is probably the gun. You and I both had the same experience. I'm gonna throw sorry, Smith and Wesson. I love you guys. I have two of your M&P medals. They shoot great. I carry a bodyguard every day, but I'm about to throw some of these guns a little bit under the bus. Not severely, but a little bit. Again, I carry a bodyguard too every day. I trust this gun, but it is one of the guns with the issues. Paul, when you got your bodyguard, what was happening with it?
The sights were needed to be drifted and out of the box and printed to the left.
Mine
As
did
a matter
this.
of fact, sorry, I was going to add something. As a matter of fact, at 25 yards, I was hitting 7 inches, like at 7 o'clock, towards the bottom of the A zone and the C zone. So you
So it
can
was just.
tell it was an issue up close at 3 yards, and you can tell it was an issue at 25 yards. The gun was great. In that session, I put 300 rounds. No stoppages other than the one with my left-handed thumb, which is not the gun's fault. I'm left-handed, but it's like a sweet gun. I think it's one of the best guns that came out within the last year.
I agree with that. I really think it is probably the current top notch is somebody could exceed it, but I think it's the current top notch example of how to do a 380 right. On top of that, it's a 10 or 12 shot if you want to use the Stendo. Like it's 10 shots. It's tiny as hell. It's 10 shots. But I experienced the exact same thing out of the box, out of the factory. I printed the gun at 50 feet, 18 yards. Yeah, it was shooting about 6 inches left at 18 yards at 50 feet. I was about six, like a really nice group, a nice little like 3.5 inch, 4 inch group, but it was significantly not centered where I was putting my sights. And then I did a little bit of diagnostic work. I did a little bit of shooting with another gun, and it's like, no, I'm not pushing left today. I'm certainly not doing that. And so the solution there becomes what it has always been: drift your sights. Steve Fisher is a massive, massive proponent of reminding people that you have to zero your iron sights too, meaning you have to check them. Are they probably good from the factory? Yeah, probably. But remember, they assemble this thing, they press the sights in with a jig, and then it goes away, and then they do it again, and it goes away, and they do it again, and it goes away. Like, they're not micrometer checking these things. They're putting it together based on an assembly blueprint, and then it goes to testing. And the test fire is for function. It isn't really, it's not a zeroing. It's for function and accuracy. So they're measuring a group, and they're making sure the gun cycles. And if it checks those two boxes, they're not going to sit there and be like, oh, well, this one printed, 4 inches left at 10 feet. They're like, nope, test target good, function check good, clean it, put it back in the box, and ship it on its way. These aren't necessarily zeroed out of the box. They're probably close, but they're not necessarily zeroed out of the box. And the bodyguard was just my most recent example. And it's a gun I trust every day. I drifted the sights with a old school brass punch and hammer, and then it worked fine. Worked absolutely fine.
I had a, no, I have it partially, M&P 2.0 regular polymer one thing. It was printing just off to the right at 25 very consistently. And just by eyeballing it, you could tell the front sight and the dovetail was just off. So it's, you just have to mechanically confirm that the sights are onto you and how you shoot. It's actually one of the things I like about red dots is you just twist it and it's there.
The red dot, the great thing about the red dot, and we'll go off the tangent and then we'll switch back, and I'm gonna throw Smith under the bus one more time, just one more gentle time. But this is information they know. They like it is publicly available on them. But sometimes it can surprise people who have an impression otherwise. But to go off on the red dot tangent a little bit, one of the wonderful things about red dots, the wonderful thing about iron sights learning shooting initially is iron sights exist in the real world. They exist in real space. So you can eyeball both of them no matter where they exist in front of your face and then align them accordingly. The red dot exists in it's a projected LED on a screen. And if you are not aligned to it properly, you cannot see it. But given that you flip that around, the red dot is, assuming it is properly torqued and secured to the slide, always perfectly aligned to the slide and the barrel. Therefore, there is no guessing about sight alignment. It is already aligned to a much greater precision than you can already expect out of the gun itself. Because you're looking at a good 9mm will shoot. A good one will shoot like 2 inches at 25 yards. That's 8 inches at 100. And if you're shooting even thick dots, even like a 6 minute dot, your dot is smaller than the maximum mechanical accuracy that a pistol is capable of. Your sight picture is more precise than what the ammo and the gun platform is capable of. And when to tangent that tangent, when you're picking sights, that's a good thing to keep in mind. What is the mechanical accuracy potential of the gun you are shooting? Because that can determine like what's your easiest, best reticle size. Now, my autistic brain likes 2 minute dots because I have 2 minute dots on everything. I know 2 minute dots are genuinely overkill on handguns. Like they're too precise. Four handguns by a factor of about four by doing the math. A 8 minute dot is roughly ideal on a lot of handguns. An 8 minute dot, 9 minute dot is like that's your group size. So you zero it properly and like that's your point of impact for a dramatic space and time. On top of that, a big dot's easier to pick up quicker because there's more of it to grab. I do the silly thing. I overbrighten the dot and get the same effect. I click it up a couple of extra brightness settings and there I go. So to each their own there. But the dot being always properly lined, as long as it's mechanically secure to the slide the proper way, and being far more precise than what the pistol itself is capable of are both very, very good things when it comes to determining the precision of your shots and determining the mechanical accuracy. It's a lot easier for me to diagnose if there's a gun problem, if there's a dot on a gun. Because that dot shows me all my movement as well. So I can see if I did something wrong during the shot by the movement of the dot, or I can see if there's mechanical function that is not going well inside the gun. Like, all right, all this stuff worked, but the group is telling me something is wrong. What is that thing? Could be the sight's off, which, like you said, with a dot, just click it to where it's on. Adjustment, left, right, up, and down.
Want to hear a fun trivial fact?
Oh,
I
yeah.
did the time on a Glock 19 that I had at full extension, the standard width defensive front sight actually measured out to 17, almost 18 MOA. And that's not even it being magically aligned, just for perspective. Did you say, oh, a 9 MOA dot? That sounds massive, but in reality, it's not.
It's
It's
not.
nowhere close to 17 or 18 MOA with a side. So just a fun fact for everyone.
And if you want to continue that fun fact, and I'll put my rifle autism on top of Paul's pistol autism here. The M16 M4 front sight post, that front sight post is roughly shoulder width, roughly 18 inches at 150 yards. So your front sight post is 12 minute, give or take.
That's why it's hard to shoot a BA with iron sights precisely.
It's roughly 12 minutes at a at, you know, it's roughly 12 minute sight. If you're using a standard M16 sight picture, it's roughly a 12 minute sight. It's a little thicker with the M4 because they're closer together. So using that knowledge, I've trained soldiers with this. I trained many soldiers with this, and this was the point that I used to drive home the fact that they need to trust their dot. Because a lot of these guys are like, I prefer iron sights. I've always shot with iron sights. I qual just fine with iron sights. I can't get used to the dot. And look, I need you to understand the order of magnitude of extra precision you get with the dot. And just like, let's trust it, guys. Let's trust this process, because the dot is absurd. The dot's roughly six times more precise. If you have a 2 minute dot in that Comp M4, and you have a 12 minute front sight that also obscures half your sight picture, because it cuts off everything that it's over top of if you're using a bisected sight picture, which most shooters do. It makes most logical sense, and it's the one I teach for the most part with this type of shooting, is cut your target in half with the front sight. If you're using a physical front sight, cut your target in half, bisect it, so you only see the top of the target, and you have less information below it. That all goes away when you're using the red dot, because the red dot's hovering there in space, and you get to see everything around it, especially at long distances.
One last thing I wanted to add to that, and I promise we're not going to go deeper into the rabbit hole and bring up focal points or anything. Just
Oh,
like
I don't promise any such thing.
it's a good idea to check the specific mechanical setting of your sights and your guns. Never hurts if you buy an optics ready gun that comes with a dot or a plate already. It doesn't hurt to take your torque wrench and make sure it's already set to 18 to 20 inch pounds from the get-go, because just because they slap it on at the factory doesn't mean it's torqued properly. Even
Correct.
with the best intentions, just doesn't hurt anything to check that.
Always check. It's one of those people give shit to a company like Palmetto State, who produces like a inexpensive AR. And I want to counter people who are like, ah, it's junk. And it's like, you're right to an extent, but it's verifiable. You can check all the, like, if you have the checklist of things to go, all right, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. Things are in alignment, things are in proper torque spec. You can stake a castle nut. Anything that might get missed from them, if you check down the list. I do this with expensive guns too. I check them. I check down the list to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be. Because one, it's safer. And two, it gives me a better first round experience, because I verified everything ahead of time. I have way less to check and verify than if something goes wrong. Using my Jack mug today on camera. For those of you who are watching, enjoy the mug. For those of you who are listening, I am holding a Pusheen coffee mug, which is a unicorn rainbow cat character from the internet. RIP Jack. Love this mug. But yeah, on that, checking torque specs, check making sure everything is as it should be before you not light that first round off just means you've eliminated a lot of possibilities of what could be wrong. Therefore, if something is wrong, you have a much shorter list of like it could be this. So making sure torque specs and everything like that are done. Now you're in the realm of like basically it's going to be ammo. It's going to be ammo. If you've eliminated the fact that it's not your error, it's probably ammo now. You've gone all the way back to like, all right, the last component we don't know anything about or don't know enough about is ammo. So if it's hand loads, it could be that you hand loaded it improperly with, bullet depth or something like that, or that your loading equipment is off because you haven't checked that in a while, or. The more you can check ahead of time that everything is okay, or that you have verifiable components, like I have this lot of 124 grain Federal 9mm that just shoots excellently out of any factory 9mm I've put it through, except this current one, which I am shooting now and stuff's weird. Well, it's probably not the ammo because you have verifiable data from this other pile that, like, hey, this has been good in everything else. We are back to now it's probably the gun. And so to circle back and toss a little more shade on Smith and Wesson. I love you, Smith and Wesson. I carry your guns. Nice. I'm not going to change that fact. But Smith has a public accuracy standard of 4 inches out of their pistols. Their 9mm, their M&P 2.0 series specifically has a stated accuracy standard of 4 inches. And I don't know if the accuracy standard is higher for their competition model or not. Now, my two examples of my M&P metals both shoot under 4 inches at 25. If I'm shooting like 115, I'm usually at about three, and I'm not a great handgun shot. But I can print decent groups with both of them. But I know you've run into issues, or friend Mark's run into issues, my friend Tom has run into issues where the gun was printing a little wilder, and that just messed with him a little bit, messed with Mark a little bit, messed with Tom a little bit. And I know you had the same thing where like the gun just wasn't printing the way you wanted it to, because you started asking me various questions like, all right, well, how does this barrel lockup work? How is, everything going on here? Because I'm getting a result I didn't expect out of the pistol, and it was the pistol was shooting a little loose compared
At this
to.
point, to add to that, so it's not the gun's recipe, it's just the ingredient, if that makes sense. I could write a thesis PhD dissertation on why the M&P is arguably like the true Glock killer, if there ever was one. Its grip, the way it tracks, its standard recoil spring assembly, and so on and so forth. But for whatever reason, sometimes I just wish they printed a little tighter. They track amazing, they shoot amazing, they're ergonomic as all get out, and they're extremely reliable.
Phenomenally reliable pistol. So Smith, if you happen to be watching this, check with your barrel guys and see if you can, like, I like the Apex guys. They currently have the best fix for the most part for the M&P's accuracy. If you drop an Apex in, you generally will tighten the gun right up if your gun isn't shooting tight. If you're shooting fine, then you're fine. But Smith, quality control, talk to your barrel guys. See if they can do just a little bit more, a little bit better, get that thing tighter. Basically, look at what the Gen 5 Glocks are doing with their current new barrel batch and say, fuck them. Let's do that or better. Just like, go after it, knock them the hell out. And if that costs 50 more a gun for the M&P, I don't care. I will buy those
Moneyball.
2 point I will buy those 2.1 barrels or 2.5 barrels or whatever they come out nomenclature wise, 2.0 match barrels, that you just say like, hey guys, we had this standard for a barrel, we have upgraded the standard for a barrel, and hell, do an exchange program if you want, like send us your old barrel and you get, money off the new barrel type thing. That could literally, as you're like, there has been no Glock killer, but the M&P has come closest for several reasons. And I would love to see that last aspect get tightened up and put to bed from the factory, as like these guns are absolutely just top-notch performing out of the box. Like this is the production pistol to set the standard, especially as a US made gun, American company, American made gun.
Since we're at it, I got one more thing. There ought to be a law for M&Ps. All of them have the extended performance center handy slide stops installed versus the regular one. The performance model ones stick out just a little more, but not enough to get in the way, and they're easier to come under duress. And I
Oh,
wish.
I love the performance model slide stop. It is, we just had a buddy who evaluated it who didn't like it. I'm not sure which model, slide stop he had on that gun, because I was disappointed when he came back so aggressively about the slide stop on the pistol. But yeah, everything like I shoot the 5-inch competitor for the most part, and then I've got a metal comp metal, 4 1/4 comp metal as well that I'll shoot, and one's wearing a Steiner, one's wearing an Acro. So big dot, big box, no issue with the large dots tracking recoil wise and short stroking with any ammunition. 115s will run through it, 124s will run through it. And mine have been printing fine, so there's been excellent. But we have enough verifiable instances, and we know the Smith accuracy standard's 4 inches. I see if you can get that to 2.5. That's a challenge. I'm not throwing shade at Smith anymore. Challenge. See if you can get it to 2.5. See if you can get it to 2, because that would be incredible if you could get those guns at the factory printing 2. It's like go 2.5 for the polymer guns. Go 2 for the metal, right? Something, just something there. What else? Oh, pivot it to rifles again. If your rifle isn't printing and you need to go down the list of issues, a lot of times rifle shooting, at least in the military side, I'm dealing with a shooter who has been told that they're qualified, told they know how to shoot, and they don't. They've been put through the motions just enough to pass, and they don't actually have any retained competency. And that's been a challenge. But I did find one instance, and this was a factory FN rifle. No, it was not a factory FN rifle. This was a factory Colt rifle, factory Colt M4, where the M4 barrel was loose as hell inside the receiver. I don't know who checked that, but you could rattle the barrel. You could rattle the barrel. You could flex it and you could feel it move inside the receiver. It was not seated and pressed in and tightened like at all. But the gas tube and the barrel nut were, you know, because the gas tube retains the factory barrel nut. It's basically the staking for that barrel nut, so it won't rotate. That was just tight enough that it really didn't move, but you could move the barrel in the receiver. It was wild. And this poor soldier had, and an older soldier too, who had just kind of accepted in life that he wasn't a really good shot and that he would barely qualify, or he would have to, you know, redo or anything like that. This poor dude was dealing with equipment that was at like it was fucked. His equipment was fucked, and he thought it was him the entire time. But it was like, no, dude, like here, swap this one. I know is verified. I know it groups. I've shot it. Because I think I printed a. On that particular Colt, I think I printed, because it did cycle, I think I printed roughly 5 inches, 5 or 6 inches, at 25 yards on the zero target. Like it looked like I'd fired a number four buck at this thing. Like it was not great.
Rusty
Rounds
acres, so you have it.
everywhere, and I'm like, there ain't no way. And I hand it off to my buddy who was another armament tech. And I'm like, shoot that. And he does the same thing. And he prints the rest of the target, and the rounds are just to whom it may concern in roughly that direction. And he just goes and he's like, man, that's fucked. And I'm like, yep, that's like I needed to verify that that's fucked. And that's when we start going through, like, all right, is this sight barely hanging on by a thread? Like it's not torqued down at all. What's gonna and I grab the barrel and I feel it rattle. I'm like, hold on. I pull the receiver off because some people will be like, oh, the fit from the upper and lower is too loose. It's like that doesn't matter that much. All the accuracy is contained in the upper. As long as you support it properly, it's going to send the round with very predictable accuracy results. You don't want all the slop in the world. That's super annoying, but a little bit of rattle is fine. It's not gonna fuck with stuff that much. But I'm like, all right. And so I grab the upper and lower, rattle it. Nope, that's definitely not where the big rattle came from. So I pull the upper off, and sure enough, like that barrel is just barely hanging on in there. But it is retained because gas tube and the barrel nut were on. So it wasn't getting any looser, but it was not tight. I was surprised it functioned. I was very surprised it functioned. I guess good on Colt for that, but bad QC on letting a gun that was just everywhere out of the factory. And then his armament section unfortunately failed him because that rifle clearly wasn't inspected when it was put on the rack, or hadn't been inspected properly since then. So sometimes to wrap this episode up, guys, sometimes it's the gun, right? Sometimes it is the gun. Just make sure. So if you're off, if something's just weird, it's wild, it's off, sometimes it is the gun. Go through your checklist, check, hey, is this ammo I trust? Is this ammo I've grouped with before? Cool. Am I shooting on today? Maybe grab another handgun and, put 5, 10 rounds for a group through that handgun and make sure, nope, like I'm not a bucket of fuck today. I'm on. So what else is wrong? Just go through that checklist. If you know you're on, if you know your ammo's on, if you know the various components, you will very quickly be able to diagnose the issue and then initiate a fix. Whether it's, all right, it's time to swap a barrel, or I need a different barrel, I need to drip the sights, I need to adjust the dots, all simple things. But don't, especially if you are a newer shooter, especially if you're getting into this, just starting out, don't take to heart the advice that it's not the gun. That you will get to a point, and you can get to a point very quickly where you can eliminate you as the problem. So take that to heart, guys. This is it for me and Paul. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing. Get on that OAM list. Get on your favorite audio podcast list if you're not. Shove this in front of your friends' faces. We appreciate it. Other than that, I got nothing. You got anything else, Paul?
Just to add to what you said, just don't rely on the dollar amount or retail value of the gun. It's worth checking everything.
Yes. Yes.
You can pay $4,000 for a really nice scope, and the parallax adjustment may not actually be lined up with reality going off the droops. You just have to trust and verify every piece of equipment. It is what it is.
That's another good point. Like, do not let dollars lead. Don't let dollars substitute for checking yourself. Don't let dollars substitute. Like, you can get an aim point that is fucked up. You can get a Leupold or a Night Force that's fucked up, or at least off. Paul just mentioned parallax there. Guys, parallax markings are never correct. Never. That's not how parallax, that's not how that adjustment works. 100 isn't 100. 100 will be around there. That's a guess, but that is a guess based on very specific conditions. Your eye will tell you whether or not it's actually correct. You've got to do that process correct. And anybody who sat behind a scope will tell you that same thing. And it's the same thing with your dots. It's the same thing with your guns. You have to verify based on your experience. You can't let the dollar amount do verification for you, because it came out of a factory somewhere, and another one got built right behind it, and another one got built right behind that. And factories will have off days. Machines get out of spec. Equipment gets, out of time, out of tune, etc. And you're the last check. You're the last stop on all of these things to check to make sure that your stuff works. It should, but unless you verify, like, a little bit of that's on you. Anyway, guys, that's all we got. Later.